This podcast is brought to you by Aspire Planning Group, insurance creating a better future for you and your family. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Thanks for joining us, Jason. It was another massive result for the Phoenix. They were tested and they stood up when it mattered. Take us through the game.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Game of two halves. You know, the cliche's been used a lot, but it really was on Saturday night at Wellington. All during the week, the Phoenix talked about how they wouldn't let this game become a banana skin, how they, you know, even though they were playing a team that was on a nine-game losing streak and they themselves were looking to set a new club record for eight games unbeaten, that they wouldn't get complacent, they wouldn't let the occasion get on top of them. But for the first 45 minutes, the Mariners were the better side. They undoubtedly deserved their 2-0 lead at halftime. And whatever Mark Rudan said at halftime, and he told us afterwards in the media session that it was fairly robust chat, it worked because out came the Phoenix, and within 20 minutes in the second half, they'd gone from 2-0 down to 3-2 ahead, and they held that lead. Obviously, they were helped by the fact that Kai Rolls was sent off in the first minute of the second half, and they obviously found a little bit of their stride, I guess you'd say, and some of the form they've shown in recent weeks. So, look, it was an exciting one for the neutrals, I'm sure. A bit of a heart stopper for Phoenix fans, but the result was there. I felt a bit for the Mariners, I have to say. I thought they were very good in the first half, and I did feel for them. Nothing seems to be going their way at the moment, but for Wellington, into the top half of the table and looking really, really good now to play finals football.
And Jason, Roy Krishna scored two goals, and that's taken his goal-scoring tally now to 9 this season. He's just two behind the Golden Boot race leader, Adam Lafondra. His performance just seems to be going to the next level every week.
It really is, Louise. You know, you look at Roy Krishna, and he's been around for a while now. In fact, Saturday was 5 years to the day that he made his A-League debut, so he's been around for exactly 5 years. But he's gone to a different level under Mark Rudan. At times last season, he cut a little bit of a desolate figure. He was not happy under the previous coach, and in fact, he was almost lost to the football club. An MLS club, the Colorado Rapids, were keen to take Roy Krishna, and he was keen to go, but that didn't happen. He's here, and Mark Rudan at the start of the season challenged Roy Krishna to have his best season ever. Well, he's got 9 goals now. His best tally in a season is 12. We're only halfway through the season, so he looks odds on to go past that dozen goals as his best ever return in an A-League season. And not only that, but the energy he's showing, the willingness to chase balls, even, you know, late in games, and just the renewed vigour that he has. He's a much happier footballer this season, and it's showing on his results and on the field. He's a key cog in this Wellington Phoenix side, and delighted to see the goals flowing for him and the smile back on his face.
And Andrew Durante clocked up his 300th A-League game, which is the most by any league player, someone who's been through quite a lot with this club.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if anybody's ridden the roller coaster of Wellington Phoenix Football Club, it's Andrew Durante. Mm. Yeah, 300 games in the A-League. The first 40 of those, of course, for the Newcastle Jets, but he arrived in Wellington at the start of the 2008-09 season, so that makes this his 11th season. He's seen some ups and downs, for sure, but right throughout his time at the club, he has never been anything other than a really solid leader of the playing group. You know, the players he's played with and against talk about Andrew Durante in glowing terms, and he is another one who has gone through a real revitalisation under Mark Rudan. Another guy who, you know, he admitted to us in the media session last week that midway through last season he was ready to give it away. He was pretty sure that last season was going to be his last. But then when there's the coaching change, Mark Rudan spoke to Andrew Durante and sussed him out on his plans. And look, he's playing as well at the age of 36 as he ever has. He's as good in a Phoenix shirt as I can remember. And he's loving life back in the Wellington Phoenix playing group. So, yeah, a neat milestone for Jura. You know, he's always been a very strong advocate of the A-League as well. A solid bloke who has almost universal respect among fans and opposition players and certainly his teammates. So, yeah, it was neat to see the 300 mark surpassed by Andrew Durante on Saturday.
And Jason, what's impressed me about the Phoenix this season has been their depth, because we saw in the first half they were without Alex Rufa and Mandy, probably their two best midfielders, and it wasn't really until Killian Sheridan came on in the second half where the side was starting to win the ball a lot more in the midfield.
Yeah, that was probably the area that the Mariners really handed over the Phoenix in that first half. You know, Jacob Melling, Tom Diarie in midfield, I thought did a great job of really dominating that little third of the pitch without Mandy and Rufa Kocinski. Michal Kocinski, the Polish midfielder, was in there. Mitch Nichols, who hasn't played 90 minutes for a long time, I thought he was a little bit short of the gallop, if I'm honest. And yeah, as you say, when Sheridan came on and they changed things around and they went to sort of that just Kocinski in midfield with Singh, Sheridan, William, Krishna further forward. I mean, they had to really, guys, because they were 2-0 down. Once they did that, they looked a much more dangerous proposition and Mark Redan rolled the dice in it and it worked. But I think you will definitely see Mandy and Rufa both back into the starting 11 this weekend when the Phoenix take on the Victory. Alex Rufa was just a one-game suspension for accumulation of yellow cards. And Mandy, of course, had his three-game ban downgraded to just two games on appeal. So both available on Sunday. And like I say, I think you'll see them both back in the engine room for Wellington.
And you touch on Sarpreet Singh, our favourite player.
Yep.
The NAB Young Footballer of the Year nominee for December. He's producing some stunning performances and it's starting to raise the questions as to just how far this young player can really take his career.
Yeah, absolutely, Louise. Look, I remember you and I talked about him, it would have been a year ago, probably more, and I'm just delighted to see Sarpreet delivering on the promise that we always knew that he had. And look, he wasn't quite as dominant on Saturday as he was in that game against Brisbane before Christmas, which was a real breakthrough for him, but certainly some nice touches and a key cog in this team. You're right, you know, where he can go, I guess he is the only guy who can really, you know, decide that, because he can go, very, very far indeed. You compare him to a guy like Marco Rojas, who lit up the A-League for both Wellington and for Melbourne Victory, and even Daniel Arzani, who burst onto the scene with Melbourne City last year. Sarpreet Singh is just such a precocious talent. And for a guy who would be lucky if he was 65 kilos, the way he moves around the field, his first touch impeccable, the way he can pick a pass, and the way he's becoming more involved in the attacking third as far as being a scoring threat is concerned, he has all the ingredients to really take this football career of his to the next level. Of course, we here in Wellington, and I'm sure across the A-League, we'd love to see him stay for a bit longer because we're loving watching him play. But look, he's contracted until the back end of next season. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get another season and a half out of Sarpreet Singh, but I think we all understand and realise that there may be bigger things to come for this young man.
He's certainly a delight to watch, and we're speaking, of course, with Sky Sports New Zealand commentator Jason Pine on all things Wellington. And after the game in the press room, it was a very profound and quite moving speech by Mark Rudin to the journalists. You were in there with him. Take us through what it was like being there.
Yeah, quite astonishing. I've been to a lot of post-match press conferences, probably every single one that Wellington's ever had, in Wellington anyway. And you know what these things can be like sometimes. Sometimes they're a little bit samey. Not a lot is said by either coach, really, the winning coach, the losing coach, or if it's been a draw or whatever. But, yeah, Mark Redan talked a bit about the game, and then he really got quite passionate and almost a little bit emotional when he talked about the game in New Zealand, the game of football in New Zealand, and how Wellington Phoenix can be a real force for good, not only for the club and for its fans, but for the game of football in New Zealand. And he talked about how he'd love to see positivity continue to grow around the game here, how he'd like to see crowds grow, how he would love to see people feeling positive again about the club and not being afraid to be positive. And there's talk sometimes of tall poppy syndromes and how people are keen to knock down successful sports people and sports teams. And he said, look, there's really no need for that. What's wrong with enjoying a bit of success and celebrating that success? And yeah, it was quite a remarkable press conference, actually. It went on for about 15 or 20 minutes, but you sat there and you listened to Mark Redan and you think, He has been an absolute game changer for this football club. He's only been here for half a season, but the difference between this season and last is just night and day. And I think the football club and football fans in New Zealand owe him already a massive debt of gratitude. And I think when the history of the club is written, I think he will have just such a key part to have played in it. And let's hope that we have him here for a little bit longer.
You'd have to say that he would have a key part in Wellington Phoenix's history, because what he has done this season has started to reap its rewards. And, you know, as you touch on, it's a different Wellington Phoenix. The character they show to not drop heads when, you know, they're behind. They just keep going and they're able to turn it around. And it's remarkable to see the change now. Jason, how has the Phoenix's season so far been received by the locals in New Zealand?
Oh, extremely positively. As I said before, you know, if you talk about the players riding the roller coaster of the club, the fans have as well. And you know, for large parts of the last few seasons, Wellington football fans were a bit scared to go to work on Monday, you know, because they knew that they were just going to get ribbed by their workmates about another poor performance. And look, we all know that supporting a football club or supporting any sports team is all about riding the highs and the lows. And gee, the Wellington Phoenix fans are riding the highs at the moment. They're loving life as fans of this football team. It was really unexpected too, because, you know, if we think back to the start of the season, every single pre-season preview I read had Wellington either owning the wooden spoon or being there or thereabouts. None of them had the Phoenix anywhere near the playoffs, anywhere near the finals, and here we are now, halfway through the season, and as I said before, it's looking more and more likely as though they will return to the finals. And you make such a good point about it being a different team as well, Louise. You know, the Phoenix of last year don't come back from 2-0 down, even against the Mariners, to win that game. They certainly don't against the Western Sydney Wanderers, when they're pegged back to 2-2 with 2 minutes to go again to try and find a winning goal. Against Adelaide, when they go down to 10 men with 25 minutes to go, the Phoenix of old don't hang on. They probably get overrun and beaten 2 or 3-0. This is a very, very different Wellington Phoenix side. The mentality has been instilled in them by Mark Rudan and completely bought into by the playing group. And you know, it is, as I said before, just night and day compared to what we saw last season.
And the one thing that stood out for me from that Mark Rudan press conference was that he was saying that internally it's very important to celebrate and enjoy the little wins along the way, which is something you don't really see coaches come out and say publicly.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. I was because you're right, often they don't want to get too far ahead of themselves, and they're very keen to keep players' feet on the ground. And Mark Rudan is like that, you know. He's very very keen to make sure that the likes of Sarpreet Singh and Liberato Kakashi, these young men who are now starting to get talked about in glowing terms, do remain with their feet on the ground. But he was keen to celebrate the likes of Andrew Durante's 300th game, the fact that it was the biggest crowd that Wellington had for quite some time. You know, that they had achieved a little piece of history with the 8 games unbeaten. He said, you know, I don't go into games or into seasons. I'm not a football coach who focuses on milestones, but when they come along and you can create a piece of history, then you do have to celebrate and enjoy that. Not to the expense of everything else, and certainly not for long. They're not going to rest on their laurels. You know, they're already starting to plan for their next game against Victory on Sunday. But it was nice to hear him say that these milestones, both team milestones and personal milestones, are acknowledged and celebrated, because they certainly are by the fans. And it's good to know that inside the playing group, they get a little bit of accolade for it as well.
And Jason, you touch on their upcoming game. Melbourne Victory actually play Brisbane Roar tomorrow night before the Phoenix take on the Victory on Sunday. Do you think having 2 games in the time frame of about 5 days for the Victory will hinder their chances at getting over the line? Can Wellington Phoenix get one up on them this weekend?
Well, I guess they do have the advantage, Louise, don't they, of a longer break. But it's been a pretty hectic schedule for all of these teams, hasn't it? The summer of football, the games just come thick and fast. It's great, isn't it, for fans? There's a game on every night, pretty much. So we're really enjoying it. Look, I think Victory are pretty deep as far as their squad is concerned. They've had some injury problems, I know, with most notably Case Calder and we're really hoping that he's fit for the Melbourne Victory's trip to New Zealand in mid-February. We'd love to see him over here. But look, I think Kevin Muscat's a pretty clever sort of a coach, and he'll, once tomorrow night's game is done, he'll still have, 4 days. They don't have to travel across to Wellington. They'll get back to Melbourne, and they'll be, they'll be focused on the Phoenix game. I'm really looking forward to it. Actually, the last time they met, it was a 1-1 draw at Amy Park, and you know, I think we're going to find out a little bit about Wellington over the next four games, because they are against the top four teams. In quick succession, they play Victory. Then they've got a midweek game themselves, Wellington, next Wednesday against Sydney FC, backed up by a home game against Melbourne City, and then they're off to play Perth. So across the next four games, I think we're going to find out a little bit about whether this is a side that has title credentials and just how solid they are. Look, I expect them to be as competitive as they have been for the first 13 games, but yeah, there's some really intriguing battles coming up for the Phoenix.
Well, Jason, it's been a pleasure as always to speak with you, and it's been great to talk positive things about the Wellington Phoenix this season, and we do look forward to speaking to you as we edge closer to the final series.
Yeah, let's hope so, guys. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you. It is nice to talk in positive terms about the team. There's a great little glow about them over the side of the Tasman at the moment, and as far as Phoenix fans are concerned, long may continue.